Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Backcountry in Des Moines, a boutique that believes, as Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Located at 2702 Beaver Avenue, Backcountry curates clothing and gear for people who travel in mind now and in person soon.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. A lot of things have been canceled or changed this summer, but one thing remains the same. Summer is a great time for reading. This hour, we'll find out about the best new books for children and young adults. And with me this hour, Sarah Prineas of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City, who not only sells books, but also writes books for middle grade and young adult readers. Her most recent is Dragonfell. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, it's great to be here, Charity, sort of here.
Right. I really miss having people in the studio, but it's lovely to hear your voice. Devin Redmond is also with us telephonically. She is a teacher librarian at Coralville Central Elementary in Coralville. Hello, Devin.
Hello, Charity. Hi, Sarah. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Oh, well, it's wonderful to have both of you here. And you've both come up with wonderful lists, so many great books on these lists. And we're going to dive right in. But I'll also mention that, of course, we'll be putting these lists up on our website later on today. So if you happen to miss a title, it's okay. You can find it later as well. And Sarah, let's start with you and maybe some of our youngest readers. What are some of the books that you're excited about for really little kids right now?
So these are board books, and they're smaller, so they're just the right size for little hands. And a lot of times they're made of this heavier kind of cardboard for pages. So these are great books to give to your baby, one-year-old, two-year-old. Bright pictures, not too many words. And the first one that I chose, since it's still June, I chose Pride 123, which is a counting book to celebrate Pride Month. And it begins one parade in the month of June, and it goes on two DJs spin fabulous tunes. So it's kind of these bright, colorful people hanging out at a Pride parade. Three families of all different types, four activities, fighting the good fight, and it goes all the way up to 10 waving flags fly brightly with pride. It's a very, very cute counting book, colorful, pretty basic, fun book for little guys celebrating Pride this month.
That's the Pride other board 123 by Pride. Michael Justin.
Yes, that's right. Illustrated by Wednesday Holmes. Sorry, I should have mentioned the author and illustrator.
All right. So you have another board book for us, too?
I do. The other one is called Before We Eat by Pat Brisson, illustrated by Mary Azarian, who is the Caldecott Medal-winning illustrator of Snowflake Bentley, which, as many people know, was written by Jacqueline Briggs Martin, who is an Iowa author. So she's an illustrator that might be familiar to some people here in Iowa. But I thought this one would be great since, well, we can't go to the farmer's market, but we are aware right now of where our food is coming from and the people that are making sure that the food is still available to us. So it's a sort of celebration of farmers and the people who drive the food to the market and the cash people that are working at the cash register at the grocery store. And it's almost like you might sit down at the beginning of a meal and recite a blessing about those things. So it begins, as we sit around this table, let's give thanks as we're able to all the folks we'll never meet who helped provide this food we eat. And it goes through, it's sort of jaunty rhyming, bright pictures, kind of homey, really nice. And we say thank you to thank the ones who packed the crates, sorted boxes, checked the weights, thank the drivers on the roads in their trucks with heavy loads, and all the clerks at all the stores who did the grocery selling chores. Thank the ones who bought this food, the ones who teach me gratitude. Sitting at this meal we share, we are grateful and aware, sending thanks upon the air to those workers everywhere.
Oh, nice. Before We Eat by Pat Brisson, illustrated by Mary Azarian.
Yeah.
So that even your toddlers will know that chocolate milk doesn't come from chocolate cows.
Yeah, there are actual cows in this book, and they're not chocolate.
All right. So those are a couple of board books. Let's move up into picture books, and we'll just take these one at a time. Devin, why don't you tell us about a picture book you're excited about?
All right. One of the books that I thought was really special was a book that was called Bedtime Bonnet, and it's written by Nancy Amanda Redd. And it is simple, and it's sweet, and it's absolutely perfect for the littles in your life who love a bedtime story. The main character lives with her intergenerational family, and the story describes each person's nightly hair routine as they get ready for bed. The older sister wears a scarf wrap. Her brother twists his locks. Her dad wears his wave cap, and so on. But the family isn't sure what to do, though, when it's the little girl's bedtime, but she can't find her bonnet. So leave it up to the silly grandpa to help, and your child will definitely go to bed with a smile on their face after reading this book.
All right. Bedtime Bonnet by Nancy Redd. And how did you say the name of the illustrator? Anika Myers?
I didn't say the name of the illustrator. Sorry.
All right. Nanika Myers is how I'm going to say it. I apologize if I'm saying that wrong. But so that's also not just a celebration of a bedtime routine, but also of a family of African-American people who all have very different, beautiful hair. So Hair Love, of course, was a very popular book in the past year as well. So this looks like it's beautifully illustrated. And it's such a sweet kiss on the front cover.
It is. I think it seemed to me to be for a little bit younger readers than Hair Love. But when I was lucky enough to read Hair Love with kids when we still had kids at school, and it was a huge hit. And so I think that this one, Bedtime Bonnet, will be a big hit as well with maybe a littler kids.
All right. And probably no matter what your hair is like after reading this, everybody's going to want a bonnet is my best guess. All right.
I think you're right.
Sarah, tell us about a picture book you're excited about.
Okay, the first picture book on my list is called The Old Truck by Jarrett Pumphrey and Jerome Pumphrey. These are brothers who collaborated on this book. And it's a picture book about a truck, which, you know, will speak to a lot of 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds, and I think it'll be a sweet spot for those readers. And the truck is on a farm. It's on a small farm. An old truck worked hard. And the old truck worked long. And the truck gets tired, and it gets older. And it ends up sitting by the barn, and you see it covered by snow, and you see it surrounded by weeds. And then the young farmer, who is a young black woman, who is the daughter of the earlier family, digs out the old truck and refinishes it. And now the old truck is still old, but the new farmer is using the old truck to bring her produce to market. I think I have a farm theme here today.
I think you do.
One of the cool things about this book is that they're kind of like block pictures, like color block pictures. So they're very simple and bold. And the truck, as things change around it, the truck is on the same place on every page. And it's just amazingly creative use of space, the way they've laid out each page to still, even though the truck is sort of static, the pages still feel really vibrant and full of motion as the truck kind of moves along through its truckly life. So I think readers will have a lot of fun in this sort of this folded paper, very tactile feeling illustrations too.
Well, and I'm looking at the cover online right now, Sarah, and it looks like it could come straight out of my childhood picture book library too. It kind of has a nostalgic, even 1970s kind of look to it.
It definitely has a little retro feel to it for sure.
All right, The Old Truck by Jarrett Pumphrey, illustrated by Jerome Pumphrey, and that we're back to you, Devin.
Okay, the next one that I wanted to talk about is a book called Lift by Min Lay, and it's illustrated by Dan Santat. And I was kind of looking at Min Lay, his website, as I was thinking about this book, and the opening words on his website are, "All the time is story time." and I can really see this idea in the book Lift. And I'm not sure about you, but when I was little, I remember totally being amazed by the buttons on an elevator. And that's how it is for this book's main character. Pushing elevator buttons puts her in the best mood. That is, until it becomes the job of her younger toddler brother.
Oh, no.
So she gets upset about that. But luckily, she sees her apartment manager throw an old elevator button in the garbage, and she grabs it, and she tapes it next to the closet door in her bedroom, and then the imaginative stories ensue. So Dan Santat's illustrations are as creative as the story, and I love his use of light and dark in his pictures. And then something that I always talk about the kids with at my school is that if you look under the book jacket, sometimes there's a different cover under the book jacket. And so this is definitely a book design mention, this book is. And you want to be sure to look under the book jacket for a different design there.
Ooh. Of course, that's hard in a school library. How do you manage that at a school library? Because you put the plastic covers on.
Well, they it's under the cover, and so it is funny. The preschoolers, it's like they kind of turn the book almost into a puzzle as they're trying to look under it. And part of me is like, oh, the spine of the book. But then I'm like, you know what? I don't really care. I just want them to love books and love how they're made. So I let it go.
And well, Dan Santat is famous for having those book jacket, book board differences. Like, ever, if you ever get a Dan Santat book, be sure to look under, because they're great.
Well, and I also see, in just looking at the illustrations I can see online, maybe a little homage to Calvin and Hobbes in there too, because the younger boy is carrying around a tiger that looks a lot like Hobbes.
Nice. I didn't catch that. That's why, and I can guarantee you that a kid would have caught that. And I would have loved it. I would have been like, of course you see that.
All right. That book is Lift, and it's by Min Lee and illustrated. You just said it a moment ago.
Dan Santat.
Thank you. I lost it on my page. And it sounds, boy, my kids are a little past the age where they would fight over the elevator buttons, but we had to have an elaborate system to work out how to share those elevator buttons. Sounds perfect for a lot of kids. We'll be back in just a moment. With me today, Devin Redmond, teacher librarian at Coralville Central Elementary School in Coralville, Sarah Prineas of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. They have come up with the list of some of the best new books for children and young adult readers this summer, and we'll talk about more books in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about some of the best new books for children and young adult readers. And with me this hour, Devin Redmond, teacher librarian at Coralville Central Elementary in Coralville, and Sarah Prineas of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. She is also an author, and her most recent book is Dragonfell. And we're talking about picture books. So let's each do a couple more picture books, if you guys have those on your list. Sarah, what's your next picture book?
Oh, good. I do have a couple more on my list. The first one is called Tad by Benji Davies, who is both the writer and the illustrator. And it's about Tad is, as you might guess, a tadpole. She's small, and she's smaller than her Tad brothers, and she's smaller than her Tad sisters, and she has trouble keeping up with them. And they say, keep up, or you might get eaten by Big Blub. And Tad had never seen Big Blub, but Big Blub is this giant fish that lives down in the mud and the darkness in the bottom of the pond. And he was as old as the mud, and he would wait until the sun goes behind the clouds, and then he would eat the Tad babies. And Tad hides, and slowly, as the days pass, her brothers and sisters start disappearing. Now, as a reader, I was really worried.
Yeah.
At this point.
I'm a little worried right now, Sarah.
Yeah. Because, you know, definitely Big Blub is there, and there are fewer and fewer of her brothers and sisters, and there's kind of a countdown. There were 5, 4, 3. Where had they all gone? She didn't like to think. And finally, she's the last tadpole. and she hides, and then Big Blub finds her and chases her, and she does something she's never done before. She swims up, and she hops out of the pond. She says, "I've lost my tail, I've lost my tail," because she's a frog. And she takes a big leap, and there are, of course, all of her brothers and sisters are out. They've been leaving the pond to become frogs. What a relief. And it's this bright, colorful celebration of a last page.
All right. So a growing up tale.
Yeah. And it's very cute. And it feels kind of heartwarming. It's got a plot, you know, a short story, but it's got a very good plot.
Absolutely. And as a youngest sibling in my family growing up, I have a feeling I would have really related to Tad.
Sure. It's a really great story for a younger sibling.
All right. Tad by Benji Davies. We are back to you, Devin.
All right. I was looking at Tad online, too, and I feel like the illustrations of Tad are similar to the book that I'm going to talk a little bit about, and that one is called Don't Worry, Little Crab by Chris Houghton. And Chris Houghton's books, with their colorful digital illustrations, are definitely some of my favorites to read with preschoolers and kindergartners. I especially enjoy Shh, We Have a Plan because of its repetition. But Don't Worry, Little Crab, Houghton's newest book, is really great, too. So Little Crab is very excited to visit the ocean with Very Big Crab. But once they ascend to the top of the rock and Little Crab sees how big the ocean is, he's definitely having second thoughts, like many of us do when we try something new for the first time. So you'll actually have to read the book to find out if Little Crab is able to take the plunge. And like most of Houghton's books, the words are sparse, but they are meaningful.
All right. And the illustrations, as you said, is some kind of a similar color palette, but really simple design, so inviting. Don't Worry, Little Crab by Chris Houghton. And we're back to you, Sarah.
My next choice is called A New Green Day by author-illustrator Antoinette Portis. And it's for very young readers, I would say 2 and 3-year-olds are going to love this, maybe 4-year-olds too. And it's a very simple, kind of like a riddle book based on nature. So on one page, the author asks a question. And when you turn the page, you see an illustration of the answer. So here's a riddle for you. I'm a comma in the long, long sentence of the stream. Someday soon you'll hear my croak. You turn the page, and who is it? Says Tadpole. Got another theme going here. That's how every page kind of asks these nature-based questions, and I think it's really engaging for young readers because the answers aren't always obvious. For example, this one: I'm the rumble in the stomach of the storm. Pardon me, it must be something I ate. Grumble, mumble, boom, says thunder on the next page. So these are really fun, very short, very bright picture.
And I can imagine readers loving to answer those riddles once they've read it a time or two and feeling very, very smart about that.
Yes.
All right. That's A New Green Day by Antoinette Portis. And Devin, another picture book from you.
All right. The one I'm going to talk about is called Story Boat by Kyle McClear, I believe. And a little background to this. This book was sitting on my kitchen table, and my daughter, who's going to be an eighth grader, she grabbed it and she said, "Is this a good book?" And I said, "Oh, it is a good book." I said, "It's a little bit poetic." And she immediately closed it and put it to the side. And I was like, "Stop." I said, "You need to read it. It's very good." So you might be expecting something different if you pick up Story Boat without knowing what it's about. It's not an adventure story like it might look on the cover, but it's actually a refugee story. I'd urge you, though, not to shy away from the book or the conversation that might happen as a result of reading it. It is poetic, but I would also claim that in the right setting, I think kids of all ages could talk about what brings them comfort in the face of unsettling times. It might be a cup, it might be a blanket or a lamp, a flower, or even a story. And refugees, no matter where they find themselves in their journey, they can find comfort in those small things. Rashim Karaya, an Iranian-born illustrator, does a beautiful job invoking gentleness in her pictures, and she focuses on hues of blue and orange and white and black.
All right. Story Boat by Kayo McClear, illustrated by Rashim Kiera. And so, Sarah, are we ready to move up a little bit, or do you have another picture book you want to squeeze
in
there?
I'm ready to talk about middle grade. Yeah. And actually, this is a great segue, because the first middle grade that I want to talk about is a graphic novel. It's called When Stars Are Scattered by Victoria Jameson and Omar Mohammed. And people might remember Victoria Jameson. She's the Newbery Honor winner of for writing Roller Girl a couple of years ago. But this is a book that Omar Mohammed is a man who grew up mostly in a refugee camp in Kenya as a Somali refugee and eventually came to the U.S. So it's his story as told to Victoria Jameson, and she's a graphic novelist, so she's illustrated it and sort of filled in his story. And it's a really moving story about these two boys who are refugees. They've lost their mother, and Omar's younger brother is nonverbal. It sounds like he's autistic. And so it's basically their story of day-to-day survival in the refugee camp over years. And the difficulties, like sometimes people, they're trying to interview to get out and to get to Canada or get to Europe or get to America. And people leave, and it's this constant dislocation. But finally they do leave, and in an afterword you do find that their mother does find them later. But it's a really good story, and it's about brotherhood and loss and people caring for each other, and in some ways about created family, because it's about the people who all live together in this place and take care of each other.
All right. When Stars Are Scattered by Victoria Jameson with Omar Mohammed. Yep. I know Roller Girl was incredibly popular in my household, and this looks like an equally beautiful book, too.
Yes. And the added bonus is if you order it from Prairie Lights, we have signed copies signed by both both Omar Mohammed and Victoria Jameson. So,
all right.
Pretty good.
Devin, you've got a graphic novel on your list. Should we skip to that, or do you want to start with some early chapter books?
I wasn't sure what I should do. Should I talk about my graphic novel?
Sure.
Okay.
We're making up the rules here.
So this one is called Snapdragon by Kat Lay, and I don't know how to tell the audience that this book just made me smile so big. I gave it a resounding 5 stars, and I think that it could be a graphic novel for third grade on up. And it's still, when I think about it, it just brings a smile to my face. But Snapdragon is, she's an independent young soul who lives with her hardworking mom and their 3-legged dog, who has the world's best name, and his name is Good Boy. And she has a friend, Lewis, but otherwise most kids think she's pretty weird, think Snapdragon is pretty weird. Snapdragon meets an old witch, or so she thinks, in the woods. But they actually end up becoming animal-loving friends, not knowing that their histories already intersect. This is a fantasy story, but in my opinion, it almost reads more like realistic fiction, in that the fantasy element just really feels like a stretch of the imagination. Besides being about witches and ghosts and magic, Snapdragon is also about love and friendship, individuality, and gender identity. I loved that Kat Lay's artwork showed all sorts of body shapes, skin colors, and hair types. There were very strong characters and lots of inclusive adults. this book was a very happy book. And if your child loves graphic novels and reads and rereads them, I definitely think this one is worth buying.
All right. Snapdragon by Kat Lee. It does look incredibly imaginative and engaging. And of course, graphic novels are great literature too, not just for kids who are reluctant readers, but for all kids. All right. Sarah, what do you want to do next?
I'll go with an early early middle grade novel.
Okay.
By Renee Watson. It's called Ways to Make Sunshine. And kind of the approach to this book is everybody knows the Ramona Quimby books by Beverly Cleary, and they're all set in Portland, Oregon, and they're very, very white. And so in some ways, Renee Watson's Ways to Make Sunshine is an answer to the Ramona Quimby books. It's Ramona, but she's black. And she gets into similar kinds of scrapes. I mean, this too is a really happy book because she's just kind of this spunky kid who the book itself is I would say geared for maybe a reader just starting to read novels, short chapters, and each chapter is kind of its own little story. It's very episodic in that way. So she's dealing with her big brother Ray, who's kind of maybe he's a little overprotective sometimes and not always nice to her, and dealing with other kids in school and, things like that, like really everyday things, but somehow just the writing is so snappy and the character just so unique and so peppy that it's a really fun, fun read. Ways to Make Sunshine by Renee Watson. And the other nice thing is there are illustrations in every chapter. So it's going to be something I think that new readers are going to find really accessible.
All right. So maybe for kids who also love the Ivy and Bean books or the Just Grace or the Clementines, this sounds like another great...
Yeah, I would put it into those hands. Yep.
All right. Ways to Make Sunshine by Renee Watson. And we're back to you, Devin.
Okay, I'm looking at my two choices for kind of the early chapter books, and I'm not sure which one to do. But I'm going to go with Planet Omar, Accidental Trouble Magnet. And this one is written by Zanib Mian. And Planet Omar is a new series for kids who are past early readers and ready for chapter books. There are comic-like pictures drawn on every page to add to the fun and maybe possibly add some visual support. So Zainab Mian's newest character, Omar, he's starting a new school and he's really pretty nervous about it. He finds a quick friend, but he also finds the attention of the class bully. He's also getting used to his new house and new neighbor, and his family is looking for a new mosque. But then Omar is also really dealing with regular everyday things like brothers and sisters and stressed out parents. Readers are definitely going to be able to relate to Omar's daily second grade-ish grind, I would say, and they'll learn about the Muslim culture or they'll see themselves represented. So it's definitely a win-win for everyone.
All right. I'm guessing this is pretty funny.
It is funny. It's funny in a second grade way. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Planet Omar, Accidental Trouble Magnet by Zanib Mian. And we're back to you, Sarah.
Oh, good. I've really been looking forward to talking about this book. It's called A Game of Fox and Squirrels by Jen Reese. And fair disclosure, Jen is my best friend. And it's her... the work of her heart. It's a middle grade novel about a girl named Sam, Samantha, and it asks the question, what would you do to go back home? With a wrinkle, what if home is a dangerous place? Sam and her sister have been taken from their home because of an abusive situation and placed into the care of Sam's aunt and her wife. In Oregon, Portland, Oregon, so we've got another theme going here. And it's about Sam still longing for the comfort of home and knowing her place and while adapting to this new place. And she's resistant at first. And she's offered a way out. in something that's very, very difficult to pull off, Jen Rees manages to bring fantasy, a fantasy element, into this real-world situation. All of a sudden, this fox from a board game that Sam has given appears in her room and makes her a promise. If you can find this golden acorn, you can go back home. And the fox is charming and dapper and manipulative. And Sam has to figure out how to negotiate finding her place in this new world, dealing with the fox and his tricky, tricky promises, while sort of reconciling what happened in her past. And it's just this heartwarming, moving, and surprisingly in places funny, witty. I think that middle grade readers are going to eat this one up. They will love it.
All right. It sounds incredibly original.
Yes.
A Game of Fox and Squirrels by Jen Rees. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about more great new books for children and young adults. With me, Sarah Prineas of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City, and Devin Redman, teacher librarian at Coralville Central in Coralville. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Backcountry in Des Moines, a boutique that believes, as Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Located at 2702 Beaver Avenue, Backcountry curates clothing and gear for people who travel in mind now and in person soon.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about some of the best new books for children and young adults. Devin Redman is with me. She's a teacher librarian at Coralville Central Elementary in Coralville. And Sarah Prineas of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. She is also an author who writes books for middle grade and young adult readers. Her most recent is Dragonfell. And Devin, we are back to you for your next chapter book, and then we'll keep moving our way up the age groups.
All right. This one is called Stand Up Yumi Chung by Jessica Kim. And Stand Up Yumi Chung is funny and it's sweet. And I would say that it would be really great for third through sixth graders. As a reader, you are going to just feel for everything that Yumi is going through. She hates getting her hair permed, but her mom doesn't listen to her. She's picked on by the kids at her high-stakes school, but Yumi keeps that to herself. Her family's Korean barbecue restaurant is failing, but it's like a second home to Yumi, so she wants it to succeed. And lastly, she really can't stop watching her favorite YouTuber, a stand-up comic named Jasmine Jasper. So imagine Yumi's surprise when she stumbles onto a summer camp that's actually led by Jasmine Jasper herself. The catch? Everyone at the camp thinks Yumi is really a different camper who hadn't shown up yet, and Yumi doesn't correct them. So this does give Yumi a spot at the camp, but it also means that she's lying to her parents about where she's spending her time, and she's pretending to be someone she's not, thus lying to the new friends that she's making. Ultimately, the story is about finding the confidence and courage in being who you are and what you really want to be. And I do think Stand Up Yumi Chung is funny.
So. All right. Stand Up Yumi Chung by Jessica Kim. And it's so fun to see the, as our children's culture changes, to see that culture incorporated into novels as well. Because, of course, a lot of kids are spending their summers watching YouTube. All right.
Definitely.
Sarah, back to you.
I've been thinking a lot lately about why it's so great for kids to read. And one of the things, I mean, it's obvious, is that when a kid picks up a book, they enter the life of another character. They can imagine what it feels like to be in somebody else's shoes. And that's an act of empathy. And I think it's so wonderful that a lot of the books we're talking about today are going to help our readers to develop their sense of empathy at this important time. And so the next book that let me step into another's shoes is called The Only Black Girls in Town by Brandi Colbert. And Brandi Colbert is a well-known YA author, and this is her first middle grade, and she just hits it out of the park. It's about a girl named Alberta who lives in a beach town in California, and she is the only black girl in her class. And she is kind of, she's aware of racism and she's aware of the kind of microaggressions that, she, you know, they're like not enough to mention, but she feels them. They're there, especially from this girl named Nicolette in her class who's a racist. And for the first time, across the street moves in another girl who is black. And it's partly about their friendship and the start of a new school year, so it's going to really speak to all readers. It's also about a mystery. I'm not going to give away any of the mystery, but they discover some diaries and journals up in the attic of the house of the new girl. And they have to kind of figure out together you know, what those were and what they mean about the history of the place where they live. But it's just a really good story about, you know, about these two and their friendship. And here's an example of the kind of thing that Alberta is dealing with. Her best friend before Edie moves in next door is named Laramie. And Alberta says, you know, I'm the only black girl in our class. And her friend's like, well, but there are other black girls in the school. And she's like, but there isn't, you know, there aren't any. And it's a very white class. And Laramie says, I guess I never thought about it. You're just you. You're Alberta. You blend in. I don't really think about you being black. And Alberta, she says, I get this feeling in my stomach. I want to say that I am Alberta, but part of being Alberta is being black, and I don't blend in. So it's kind of her acknowledging who she is and how she fits into this school. It's a, you know, it's a good read for those reasons, but also a good mystery and a good friendship story.
All right. The Only Black Girls in Town by Brandy Colbert. And you both have a number of nonfiction books on your lists, and I want to have some time to talk about that. We've only got a little over 10 minutes left in the show. So why don't we skip to talk about young adult fiction? You could each give me one of those picks, and then we'll talk about nonfiction as we head out here. What do you think, Devin?
That sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Young adult fiction.
Oh, shoot. Well, I have two really good young adult ones, but one of them is...
If you're fast, you can say both.
No, one of them is called... Okay, well, that one is not... Yeah, I'll do Clap When You Land.
Okay, that one is one of mine, too, and that's an awesome book. So, yeah, go do that one.
Okay. So Clap When You Land, I know this is a bold statement, but I think that this was probably the favorite book that I have read since the pandemic started. It's written by Elizabeth Acevedo, I hope, and she's the author of Poet X, and I loved that one as well. But Clap When You Land is filled with strong women who are comfortable in their skin and who strive to understand the meaning of love, forgiveness, and family in the midst of life-changing loss. The book is actually a dual narrative told in verse like a poem, and it tells the story of Yahara Rios, who lives in New York City, and of Camino Rios, a young woman living in the barrios of the Dominican Republic, after they both hear about the crash of flight 1112 as it took off from New York City bound for the Dominican Republic. The book is actually based on the real American Airlines flight 587 that crashed in Queens, New York in November of 2001. It too was bound for the Dominican Republic, and it was filled with mostly Dominican passengers. And from the author's note at the end of Clap When You Land, Acevedo wrote, "My research led me to so many stories of individuals who were returning to the Dominican Republic to retire, to open grocery stores, to help a sick relative, or to celebrate their military leave. And then it also led me to stories of people with multiple families, with large secrets, with truths that were exposed publicly and without pomp after their death." So that is what Clap When You Land is about, is that last part, stories of people with multiple families, large secrets. And again, as a book design aside, a lot of times with chapter books, if you look under the book jacket, they're just different colors under there. But this one is the cover under the jacket of Clap When You Land is an especially beautiful surprise, too.
All right. And it's told in verse. This sounds, again, like an incredibly original, ingenious book, Clap When You Land by Elizabeth Acevedo. And I think you won the opportunity to talk about another one there, Devin, by taking one off of Sarah's list. Sarah, what book would you like to talk about next?
Well, actually, I'm gonna just reiterate that Clap When You Land is awesome. This book is really going to speak to the young adult reader. Like, if you need a book for a young reader, for a teenage reader, get this one, because it's got the drama. These two girls, they find out that they have the same dad and they never knew about each other. So they're processing that along with the grief of losing him and dealing with the airlines and dealing with family and some really kind of dangerous stuff too for Cammy in the Dominican Republic. I have others on my list, but this is the one I want to really put in front of people.
All right. Read this book.
Read this book.
Devin and Sarah say, read this book, Clap When You Land by Elizabeth Acevedo.
Yeah.
All right. So should we do one more fiction and then talk about nonfiction, Devin?
You know what? I think that the two that I have left, the three that I have left, Charity, are all nonfiction.
Okay. All right. So tell us about a nonfiction pick.
Okay. I think that the one that I'm going to talk about is called, this book is Anti-Racist by Tiffany Jewell. And I was just last night, I was listening to an interview with Jason Reynolds, and he described being anti-racist as it's like a muscle that you have to, strengthen. I'm kind of the person who likes to kind of mark things off a list. Like, I'm done with that. I'm not an anti-racist, or I am anti-racist. I'm all done. But that's not really how it's going to be. And the book is Anti-Racist, I think, will help readers understand that. So this is actually a book geared towards 5th through 8th graders, but I think you could read it with any child if you were willing to explain the concepts and vocabulary. The content felt very accessible, and author Tiffany Jewell did a great job explaining things like social identity, race, ethnicity, and racism. I really liked her explanation of calling out racism or calling it in. The bright, bold pictures were excellent. There are activities that give you time to sit and think about your own experiences with privilege, social identity, and the history of beliefs that you hold. There is a great glossary, a bibliography, and there are suggestions for further reading.
All right. So, and a book, it sounds like, that could really help kids make sense of so much of what they're hearing right now and what they're trying to think about and trying to tackle. It sounds like it could really break it down.
Definitely. And I think that even as parents or as adults reading that book, it will also help you as well.
All right. This book is Anti-Racist by Tiffany Jewell and Sarah.
Okay, my first choice for nonfiction, and I would say this is going to be a middle grade to YA read. It's called The Power Book. What is it? Who has it? And why? And, we have a lot of issues in the world, but a lot of them are informed by who has the power. And this book unpacks that in really straightforward and yet illuminating ways. Things like everyday power, the fact that your parents have power over you if you're a child. Then there's world-changing power, what it means to be a world leader, what kinds of things affect your power, depending on your gender or your race or your economic status. And another cool thing is that the introduction to this book was written by Roxane Gay, it's a really good introduction in saying, if you can find out what your power is, that's a place to stand if you want to act in the world. And I know a lot of people right now are thinking about how to act in the world. And so this book is kind of helps you to know where you stand so that you can do that.
All right, The Power Book, What Is It, Who Has It, and Why, by Claire Saunders, along with a few other folks involved in that as well. And Devin, I think you both have time for at least one more. If we're quick, maybe two. What's your next book?
Okay, my next one is Stamped: Racism, Anti-Racism, and You by Jason Reynolds and Ibram X. Kendi. And I know that this book has been getting a lot of needed exposure, so that's great. But it really is worth your time. The thing that I think stuck out with me so much with this book is that I rarely listen to audiobooks. But I did listen to this one, and it was read by Jason Reynolds. And if I hadn't listened to it, I wouldn't have had his voice as a narrator. And there was so much strength and grit and anger and love and admiration behind his voice. He also had this tendencies when he would talk about something very heavy or I think heavy, he would just say, okay, stop and let's take a breath. And it was just so beautiful. And I am so thankful that I had his voice. But he calls this book a not history, history book. He says this because you won't find much of anything he says in the history books that we read in schools today. He made it perfectly clear through looking at the different eras of our world, starting in 1415, that race as a construct has always been used to gain and keep power, whether financially or politically. And so then looking at the key players throughout history, Reynolds uses the word segregationist, assimilationist, and anti-racist. So if I, Reynolds also says that race is not so much woven into people, but woven into policy that people adhere to and believe is truth. So if I were a history teacher, I would definitely take each section of Stamped, which is clearly marked, and compare it to what history books say. And I would honestly recommend this book to everyone from probably like sixth grade on up.
All right. That's Stamped: Racism, Anti-Racism, and You by Jason Reynolds and Ibram X. Kendi. I'll also just throw in that I've read almost all of Jason Reynolds' novels for young readers with my kids, or I've read them after they've read them. I'd recommend almost anything that he's written for any of your kids. All right. That's not my job. But Sarah, I think you get the last pick today.
Okay. And you know what? I'm representing for my Prairie Lights colleagues today because they love poetry. And so I've chosen a poetry book to end up with. It's called Woke, A Young Poet's Call to Justice by Mahogany L. Brown with Elizabeth Acevedo, and a foreword by Jason Reynolds. And it's a series of poems because poets have always been at the forefront of social movements. And so this kind of follows this tradition to celebrate the joy and the passion of acting on social justice issues. And I just wanted to pick out my favorite poem by Elizabeth Acevedo called Rock the Boat, and it's got this theme, rock the boat, rock the boat, with love and hope, rock the boat. And it's about going out and making the change.
Don't just sit there. We are out of time. That's Woke, A Young Poet's Call to Justice by Mahogany L. Brown and Elizabeth Acevedo. And Sarah Prineas and Devin Redman, thank you both so much for being here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Devin Redman is an elementary teacher librarian at Coralville Central in Coralville. And Sarah Prineas works at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. She's also a young adult author or middle grade author. Her most recent book is Dragonfell. This is Talk of Iowa.